thirsty, my friends.
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things.
Touchdown, Packers!
Football is life!
Lana!
What? Danger zone.
Was gonna be this way.
No! No! No!
Psych you out in the end.
This is the way.
It's Morphin time!
Joyful and jolly Jokerfish.
Ew, David.
And be better protected from mayhem. Like me.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello. I'm the doctor.
Nerd!
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Nerdiest Podcast in the Midwest. An episode where we're not only talking about trailers, we're not only talking about the return of a king, but this is the way. Here on the Midwestern Nerds Podcast, I'm your host, Brian Stoffel, joined as always by my partner in crime, my podcast sidekick.
Rule of three really got you stumped on that one. K.O. Kyle Olsen!
I was in a groove. And then my mind went somewhere else, and then it came back like halfway through what I was saying, and that's what we got. So we are the Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. We are on Facebook as the Midwestern Nerds Podcast. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream and listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. This week, there have been a few really awesome trailers that came out that we wanted to talk about. Somebody is returning to the MCU, which we're also very excited to talk about, and a little show about a Mandalorian and a Baby Yoda is starting its third season. We're two episodes in. We're going to be talking about it in this half Midwestern Nerds, half TV Talk episode. I think this is just going to be dubbed a TV Talk episode because let's postpone the triple digits for one more week so that we can maybe plan something good, something special for that. So join us on this TV Talk episode as we dive first into some regular Midwestern Nerds topics. And that's some trailers. There was a new Mario movie trailer that was released. We're going to save that one for second because that one was pretty awesome. But there was another trailer that came out to a movie that I keep forgetting exists and I keep forgetting is coming out. So much so to the fact that when we did our most anticipated movies of 2023, it was nowhere to be seen on my list, despite me being probably one of the biggest fans of the franchise in your podcasting playlist. And that's TMNT. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are coming out with a brand new animated movie titled Mutant Mayhem, produced by none other than Seth Rogen and his production team that gives us great things like Invincible and The Boys.
Bangers.
They dropped their first trailer this week, and we've got some thoughts. I'm going to share mine first, me being the big TMNT guy here. I've heard a lot of people, a lot of TMNT fans that have had very mixed reactions to this trailer. A lot of people don't like it. I'm not one of those people. I actually really liked this trailer. I love that it's taking like a Spider-Verse spin to the animation, to the artwork. It looks very painted, very comic booky almost. I love that our four turtles are voiced by actual teenagers and they look and act like they are young teenagers, like they're like 12, 13 years old. I love me some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but the thing that always seems to be a little bit on the weaker side is the teenage in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. we get our jokesters, we get our pizza loving pals, we our skateboarders, cowabunga dude, all that stuff. That's about as teenage as we get. Otherwise, we get very adult stories. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, even in the comics, started as very mature adult comics. They swore, there was blood, there was some very adult themes in those books. So it's, to me, the weakest part's always been the teenage part. And I find it refreshing that we're actually getting like what feels like teenage. Like, this is going to be an all ages, like, family friendly movie. If you want your hardcore turtles, go to the original 90s movie. It's hardcore enough where parents back in the day complained enough to the studios where the reason we got Secret of the Ooze the way we did was because of that. So you want your hardcore turtles, go to the comics, go to that movie. But I love this. I love what we've seen so far in it. I like the jokes. I thought it was pretty funny. I like the Easter eggs that we've already seen. The rooftop where they're talking to April, there's the big light up sign that says Laird. That is the last name of one of the co-creators of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I love seeing that. We get Bebop and Rocksteady. The casting news that came out last week for this movie, this is a stacked cast. So whether or not you were on the fence about this trailer, you're definitely going to want to check out this movie for the cast alone. Splinter, what's going on with his hair with that weird mullet fro going on? Something I've never seen Splinter have. Kyle, I've been rambling. I love this trailer. Jump in with some thoughts.
No, it's good. I love it. I love hearing the passion out of it because this honestly looks awesome. Like, it gives me Spider-Verse vibes. That's like the animation style looks so cool. It looks a little bit comic booky without trying to be real. Like, that's been one of my problems with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, especially a lot of the newer content that's come out. I get that CGI is getting really good and all that fun stuff, right? You start to make realistic life-size turtles, it's not really that appealing to watch on a big screen. The turtles, in my opinion, are meant to be animated. I'm extremely excited for this. It looks great. I think you bring up a really good point that a lot of people are excited about with the casting of actual teenagers to play the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. When I heard that for the first time, I was just like, my eyes opened. Like, yeah, they fucking should be kids. Like, that's the whole point. It's literally in the name. It's like, why haven't we done this sooner? So and like you said, just like their little, the way that they hang out on the rooftop and they're fucking, don't worry, quit talking. You're going to destroy my aim. And then he just throws a fucking ninja star at his head, but instead it hits the watermelon. Like, that's just funny. That's stuff that kids do. They do stupid shit. Yeah, I cannot wait for that. Like you said, the casting is incredible. I fucking, Jackie Chan, right? As Splinter.
Yep.
Phenomenal. Like, I absolutely cannot wait for this movie. Like I said, it's full, I think, Spider-Verse vibes for me, where I think this is going to be really good. They obviously put a lot into this with as many A-list stars as they got to voice. I mean, they're cramming so many TMNT characters into this movie. But I think that's a good thing. I think you can cram a lot. I don't know. Whatever plan they have, I'm excited for it.
The only thing that I'm kind of on the fence about is a creative artistic choice for one of our turtles. I get that they're teenagers, but why and how does Mikey have braces? Who was the dentist that gave him braces? That was like, yo, turtle. Yeah, of course. I'm cool with that. Just we'll straighten his teeth out.
Dude, he's got crooked teeth.
Donnie with glasses is one thing. You can do your you can do Kyle's favorite of headcanoning of like, oh, maybe he found a pair of glasses in the sewers that helped him see better, and you know, maybe that was his perfect prescription. But the braces is another thing. If it was like
in a tough economy, if a kid comes up to you and says, hey, I have bad eyesight, or hey, my teeth are crooked, doesn't matter if they're a turtle, a rat, or a human, you're gonna give them fucking, hey, if you pay me and I'm gonna give you braces, fine, that's fine, I don't care.
I want an answer. I don't think we're gonna get one. I want an answer. And I will say this too, I would have been more okay if it would have been like a retainer, like
sure,
like again, then I can headcanon it of, oh, he found it in the sewer, and that's helping him fix his overbite or something. But the fact that he's got braces, I'm like, what's up with that? That's Kenan Thompson on SNL once famously said, and by once I mean many times in many skits, ooh-wee, what up with that? What up with that? Moving on. Let's talk about Mario. Super Mario Brothers trailer. They dropped the final trailer for this movie. There's been three trailers now, and the thing that I love is they've shown us a lot of cool stuff in all three of these trailers. Kind of have a sense of what's going on in this movie, but not really. And I love that. I love that they weren't like, here's what's going to happen in the first act, and here's what's going to happen in the second act, in the third act. Oh, we're gonna not show you everything, but we're almost going to show you everything. I don't have to win if we both lose. We didn't get any of that kind of stuff in any of these trailers. Absolutely loved that. This trailer was fucking awesome. The crazy little blue fire dude in the cage that talking like a little kid, being like, you're all gonna die, like creepy as shit with Luigi. I love Charlie Day as Luigi so far. I love this whole voice cast. Charlie Day, Keegan-Michael Key, Chris Pratt, and Jack Black. They were all on the Kelly Clarkson talk show last week. And Jack Black showed up dressed as Bowser. His bit was that, you know, they talked about dressing up as their characters, and he was the only one that committed as like a prank. I didn't buy that for a second. If you've seen Jack Black's TikToks, he 110% showed up dressed like Bowser all on his own, to the point where they had to blur his junk because it was like popping out of this teeny tiny costume that he was wearing on TV. But the reason I'm bringing this up, full circle, it sounds like I was going off on a tangent, but bringing it back around. When Kelly Clarkson asked Charlie Day about him voicing Luigi in this movie, he straight up said, my voice already kind of sounds like a cartoon character, so I was the one who had to work the least hardest on this movie. And it works for me. I dug it. I love the jokes with Bowser talking about all of his minions, and then the spiky turtles. He's like, and the red guys, and like totally forgot their name. They're like, oh. Then we get into the cool shit. Fucking Donkey Kong.
Bro.
Using the firepower.
That shit was
so cool. Shit that we never seen in a video game before. When that happened, I was like.
And visually seeing Mario grow to the same size as Donkey Kong too.
Oh. Yes. And then we get the side scroller of them going through what looked like a Mario world together, like smashing some Goombas and getting coins and stuff like that. That was cool. But then we got a little bit of an extended look on the go-kart race, the Mario Kart race, which, holy shit, that was awesome. And that makes me want some Grand Theft Auto style shit in Mario Kart 9 of, hey, I got bumped out of my cart. Now I'm going to jump on yours and kick you out and steal your cart. I want to see that incorporated in some gameplay. But
that's such an interesting game mechanic.
But I don't want Mario 9 for another couple of years because, A, we've been getting all the new tracks that have been coming out this past year. More just came out recently. And B, I finally, for the first time yesterday, bought Mario Kart 8. So I don't want them to come out with Mario Kart 9 because I finally bought Mario Kart 8.
That'd be perfect timing.
But yeah, this trailer was awesome. Kyle, how awesome was this trailer?
He's so freaking cool. Oh my God. Brian got the pleasure of, before we started recording, watching my muted face as I was watching this trailer, and he said it was just fun to watch that. Yeah, okay, start to finish here. Let's start with Luigi, because I'm actually very happy. I don't think I quite realized it until this trailer. Like, obviously with trailers, the third one, the final one, quote-unquote, for most movies, that one's when everything's finalized, right? So like they know the story, they know what they're doing, they put it, they have all their scenes together. So the third trailer is usually, I've heard someone explain it before, like someone who actually makes trailers, someone's explained it before, like if the main character had a dream about this movie, this would be that like blink in an instant movie, you know what I mean? So I that's what got me so excited in this movie. But like Luigi, I just like, I wouldn't say I have a problem with, but like it's been weird that Mario's whole mission in all these games is to save the princess, right? So like in the first trailer, when it's like he's new to this world, I thought Peach was going to get kidnapped and he was going to have to save this princess that he doesn't fucking know, which is weird, right? I'm so glad that they turned it on its head and Luigi's the one that's kidnapped and Mario and Peach and Donkey Kong and all these people get to go save Luigi because it's important to Mario, because that's blood, that's family. Like, I'll do anything
for my brother.
Exactly. I love that because it just makes the stakes greater. So I very much appreciate that twist in the narrative. That little fire dude in the beginning. Okay, I'm a little torn because like it seems like it could be like for the people who play Mario Galaxy, it could just be a nod to one of those little like fucking star things in there. To me, it seems like that little fucker that follows Rosalina around. So I don't know if we're gonna get Rosalina in this movie. Maybe they're saving her for a sequel potentially down the road. But that was when my face lit up, is because of that character popping up, and I was like, holy shit, Rosalina, one of my favorite characters in all these games.
I'm going to be honest, I haven't played Mario Galaxy. And what's even worse is I own it.
You got the fucking Switch game that has all three of them, right?
Yeah, I have Super Mario All-Stars.
You got homework.
And this is going to sound really bad, too. I've kind of shared a couple times on this podcast, I've never been like a super huge gamer because either I just haven't had the privilege of owning game system after game system after game system, or B, now that I'm older and quote unquote an adult, I don't have as much time for video games as I would like. And so I love Mario as a character. I love the Mario games that I have played, but I haven't played them all. And I haven't played a lot of the popular, the really big games. A couple of them being, and again, this is going to sound bad because I own some of these. Mario 64, I've played through some levels, but I haven't played all the way through, like start to finish. I don't know why, but I find that game kind of confusing.
Absolutely fair.
With the doors and the portals, and I thought I completed this level, but I didn't get all of the stars to continue on, and I've played through the first two or three levels of Sunshine. I haven't touched Galaxy yet.
Sunshine's so great. Galaxy's so great. They're just great.
Have played all the way through Odyssey, which I loved. That's good. Mario Odyssey. I loved that game. And of course, all the Mario Kart games and Smash Bros. And I had a couple of Game Boy Advance games. Like I played through, like, of course, the classic, the NES, Super Mario and Super Mario World, and Super Mario 2 was actually the game that came with my Game Boy Advance when I got that. So I've played through that game too. So I've played through a share of Mario games, but some of the bigger ones like Galaxy haven't touched yet. And while I know Rosalina as a Smash Bros. Character, I know little to nothing about her.
I mean, like any other Mario character, there's not much to know about them, really.
Right? And the brunette princess that's not Peach.
Daisy.
Yes, don't really know much about her either.
Mario Super Sluggers is one of my favorite games of all time for the Wii, plus any Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. Those were always very fun. Anyway.
Super Sluggers, is that baseball? Like the okay
super fun game,
because there was like Battle Ball or something like that, like the it looked like a mix between like football and soccer, but it was like with Mario characters. That game,
what was the soccer? Actually, yeah, there was a soccer game that came out recently, I think, actually.
No, yeah, for the Switch.
Yeah,
which yeah. I haven't played that one. And As big of a Sonic fan as I am, I haven't played any of the Mario Sonic Olympic games.
Those games are actually pretty fun.
I've been waiting for the last one to get down to like $20 before I pull the trigger on it.
Fair.
It took $40 for Super Mario or Mario Kart 8. So
that's fair. Anyway, back to the movie.
Long tangent on Mario. Yeah, very games, long tangent. Back to the Mario movie trailer.
Yeah. Speaking of the games, though, fucking Rainbow Road. Oh my god. Of course, if they're doing Mario Kart, which I feel like they almost could have saved for a movie, but then you probably get into like Fast and Furious lane, and then that's just weird. But I'm like, this looks awesome going into Rainbow Road, and the way that that's gonna. I can't wait for the world building of this. I think it's going to be so interesting. But I just love the practicality of every... Like, they took all of the items that you would get in a Mario Kart game, and they made them usable in this, like, real-life chase scene. Like, it's just so well done. I'm just impressed. Where they easily could have had the item box, Mario gets a red shell, and he throws it at someone, and it fucking chases someone. No, he actually jumps out of a cart, fucking smashes a Koopa, gets his shell, someone's throwing fucking bullet bills at him, and he shoots the shell at them and it shoots them off the road. Like, it's just so awesome. I can't wait. Like I said, I'm very excited for the world building, just the world in general, just to see how it plays out outside of a video where it's actually like a cinematic world, all the characters and like the environments. I'm very excited to see this.
I'm stealing this thought from a YouTuber, but I'm agreeing with it just based off of my excitement and anticipation for this movie and how popular Mario is as a character as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
If this movie is good, and if this movie is as good as I'm hoping it is, and a lot of people are hoping it is, I think this might be the highest grossing movie of 2023. Above Guardians, above sure. any of the Marvel movies, above Spider-Verse, above Indiana Jones, above all of these franchise movies, above Fast and Furious, and Mission Impossible. I think if this movie is as good as it looks, it's going to be the highest grossing movie of the year. Because you're going to hit not just the hardcore video game fans. This is the family-friendly movie. So mm-hmm. this is the movie that parents can take their kids back to like 5-6 times, especially yep. since it's coming out Easter weekend. So spring break weekend for a lot of schools. And you also got to figure in the international market.
Huge.
The Japanese, the Chinese audience, East Asia, that audience, that market, it's going to be huge. For this movie.
Yeah, I completely because not only that, like, it's for the kids, and I think the kids are really going to be drawn to it, but it's also for these adults who grew up with the games. Like, it honestly is one of those perfect markets. And like, it's honestly it's also huge for us video game fans. Like, Sonic has already kind of broken the barrier on video game movies. The Last of Us is currently doing that with TV. If Mario also has success here, I think we're in for a couple just big. I don't know what else we're gonna get. I can't really off the top of my head. I don't know what, but like, I think we're gonna start to see a lot more video games get adapted into TV/movies. And at this point, it seems like we found a couple formulas that work.
So excited. Any other thoughts on this movie, or should we continue on?
Jack Black as Bowser is so fucking perfect.
It's so perfect. That was my last thought. That was the cast when they announced like the initial
Anya Taylor-Joy too. Like, that's just way too perfect.
But when they announced the initial casting, I was like, this movie could be a steaming dumpster fire of a movie, and I will still see it because Jack Black is Bowser.
Exactly.
That was the perfect casting. The perfect casting. Exactly. I'm so excited. So excited. So excited to the point where I've bought way too much Super Mario Brothers movie merch already, and I haven't even seen the movie. So that's the level I'm at.
Oh, yeah.
Fabulous news that came out this week that we all rejoiced. We thanked the heavens. The return of a king talking about perfect casting. John Bernthal is returning to the MCU as the Punisher for Daredevil Born Again. I am so excited to hear this news. John Bernthal as the Punisher was perfect casting. He was absolutely incredible as that character, not just in the Daredevil series in season 2 when he showed up as a big pivotal part of that season, but also in his own show. The Punisher, the 2 seasons of The Punisher that came out, he was absolutely fantastic as a character. The Punisher and Daredevil are awesome to see together, not just in the TV shows, but from the source material, the comics as well, because they have such different worldviews and morals and opinions, and all of those things like make these two characters just clash. And in the best way. And right now in the comics, Punisher is the leader of the Hand, the ninja assassins. And who does the Hand hate and are often up against? Our boy, the man without fear, Devil of Hell's Kitchen, Matt Murdock, Daredevil. So to see that happening in the comics and then getting the news of this just makes me that much more excited. It is looking like everybody is coming back from the original Daredevil show except for Foggy Nelson and Karen Page, those actors. I'm more sad about the Foggy Nelson than the Karen Page. I thought she was fine, but I thought that the actor that played Foggy was absolutely incredible in that role. He was Foggy Nelson, and to not get him back, at least at this point, makes me a little sad. But Kyle, did you get through Daredevil yet? And if you haven't, did you at least see some of John Bernthal's amazing job as the Punisher?
Oh, absolutely, because he's in season 2. When he first gets there, we get that whole rooftop episode, which is one of the greatest episodes of television ever. So no, I haven't watched season 3 yet. That died when I started watching Iron Fist. So I'm just going to skip that now because I couldn't get through one episode, let alone a whole season. So I will eventually get back to that. I'm extremely excited about this. I mean, it's hard not to be. Like, it's this weird thing that Disney is going to have to work around, and I think they would have had to had they not gotten John Bernthal back. Like, whoever would have been Punisher eventually would have been compared to John, and I like, there's such a fan connection to this character and this actor that there would have been a lot of people like, man, sure, he's cool, but he's not John Bernthal. Like, there would have been that. And I think there's going to be that with Foggy and Karen, potentially more so Foggy, like you were mentioning. I like Karen Page in that. But I think you're right. Like, whoever Foggy ends up being cast as, like, it's like, I don't know how you can beat that. I'm sure they can find someone that their casting has been absolutely phenomenal lately. So it's hard to doubt them. But it's like, it's when you already have this existing world and you're pulling the main character from that world and plopping him into a semi new world, you're going to have returning characters, but you're also going to be replacing some people. It's going to be weird, and there's going to be backlash and some disappointed people. They have to find that right, because I don't think it would have been the right move to just pick up everyone from that show and drop them into a new series potentially. I think it is smart to restart, reference some things from back then, but recast a couple people, bring back a couple people. It'd be a good mix. It's just going to be interesting because I think there's going to be backlash, like you mentioned. But thankfully, they avoided that with John Bernthal.
Is he going to wear the logo? Is he going to have the skull?
Absolutely. We're getting a rated R movie. Like, Marvel is, I don't think they're going to hide from any of that. I think they're, especially, we know lately they've been very comic book accurate with a lot of their costumes. So, yeah, we'll definitely see it.
I know that there's some people that have been questioning that just because of the politics behind the Punisher logo.
Sure.
And all that stuff that's going on. I think there will be a skull logo. It doesn't need to be the exact like comic book skull, No, I honestly loved how they did it in the Netflix show,
mm-hmm.
where he had the Kevlar, the body armor that just happened to have like a skull like shape to it, and he just spray painted it. My favorite run of the Punisher, which was written by Greg Rucka with artwork by Marco Cicchetto. In that series, he also spray painted the skull on, and it looked super badass. So, and a skull's a skull. I mean,
exactly.
Could they address some of the politics behind the skull? Sure. There was a comic book story where the Punisher did do that. He took down some crooked cops that were wearing his logo and ripped it off and was like, this doesn't belong to you kind of thing. They could address it, but it's part of the character. And I think that people just need to, like, it's part of the character. It's part of the history. And people just need to, like, not be so, like, butthurt about everything all the time. And so I hope that we get it back. If he's just dressed in all black and doesn't have the logo on, but it's Frank Castle, kind of like how he was through the majority of season two of Daredevil, I think that'd be fine too. But I'd love to see the skull come back at least at the end, like the last time we would see him, you know. So
eventually we'll get Ghost Rider too. So
and you know what? Fuck it. Let's go full old school and bring back the white go-go boots that
Punisher wore
too. Let's go all out.
No, it's going to be so, so cool to see him fit into the MCU.
Oh, I'm so excited. One more person that we can add. Oh, this is just occurring to me as the words are coming out of my mouth. One more person that we can add to our draft roster for the Avengers draft 2023. I think Frank Castle might make his way on that list now. I don't remember if he was on there last year. He might have been.
I think he was because we definitely had Luke Cage and Daredevil on there.
Yeah, we had all of the Netflix characters on there. So, yeah, yep, he's making his way on there. Now it's confirmed. All right, let's move on to the biggest news. The biggest show right now on Disney Plus. Because the biggest show that's airing right now, I think, is still The Last of Us. But it's getting its run for its money from another Pedro Pascal. And that's in The Mandalorian. We have two episodes that came out now. Both had the chance to sit down and watch them. I finally got around to watching episode two last night. Kyle, what are your thoughts? I've been talking first a lot. I want to pass it on over to you before I jump in.
I've had a lot of fun watching Pedro Pascal run around as the father figure to this really special child during this weird time in the world. But enough about Last of Us. Mandalorian's been... I just love that he's absolutely dominating this and both stories are extremely similar. Anyway... No, the first two episodes have been awesome. I feel like Star Wars missed the boat with Boba Fett. And as a lot of people know, the two best episodes in that show were the Mandalorian ones. It's weird because they kind of messed up Mandalorian a little bit too, where they told some pretty big story beats within Book of Boba Fett. So like if you're a fan of the Mandalorian and for some reason you didn't watch anything else, you're going to come into this like, I thought Grogu was with Luke Skywalker, why is Navarro so nice? What's going on here? Like, there's so much missing just from those two episodes of Book of Boba Fett. So
even Greef Karga, he's like, hey, I thought you gave this kid back to his people. I thought that's what we did last season.
And that's them like throwing it into the narrative so that they can explain to the casual viewer, I guess. But like, I don't know. It felt super weird. But regardless, first episode was super, like, it already has this different feel. The first two seasons felt a lot like samurai slash cowboy western, you know. But now the place that the cowboy saved is too nice for the cowboy to stay. So he has to leave Navarro, right? He's not staying there. They tried to get him to stay there to be the marshal. He doesn't want to do it. He's got his own quest now. So we've kind of shifted from that tone into like a really, I guess, religious tone. But there's been a lot of religious undertones throughout the first two episodes. And it's just been really cool, the story that they're telling. You can already see, I think you can already see what the story is going through the rest of the season, and just big, really big reveals already in the second episode. Like, huge. Like, they finally returned to Mandalore, and then we saw the fucking beast at the end. Like, holy shit. Oh my god, and the little cyborg villain dude. Oh, so cool. So cool. I want to see more. I want to see more new Star Wars shit that we haven't seen before. Seeing the Easter eggs and the callbacks are really cool. I want to see this new motherfucker who is this little shell, but he can crawl into bigger bodies. And
dude, that's so cool.
He's super creepy. And he's draining Din Djarin's blood. Like, I just love it because there is innovation, but there's also callbacks. I can't remember the robot's name, something five, but he's in the very first movie. And now R5. We get a callback. R5. Yeah. And he's just here and he's there and he's still an important player. And they put on the details of him shooting the flare and it's dripping down the back and shit. Like, it's him. Like, those are cool details, but I also really love new shit. That is also awesome. Yeah. Everything about this has been super cool. The storytelling is phenomenal start to finish in each episode. There's a clear, we're going to foreshadow this. We're going to tell a story, which is also telling a different story. We're going to tell the story arc. And then towards the end of the episode, it's like, oh, that's why they were doing that. That's what, oh my God. Like, it's just so cool. This show is just so well done, so good. And we're only two episodes in, but I already want to go back and rewatch everything.
Well, I did get to rewatch everything when I was super sick a couple weeks ago. I rewatched seasons one and two, and then I rewatched the last three episodes of Book of Boba Fett, which I felt like stood alone. Like, those three episodes, including the season finale, the previously on recaps for that series, I think did a pretty decent job of catching you up as to what the hell was going on in that series. I have mixed feelings on these first two episodes. I'll be honest. Episode two, I thought, was much better than episode one. I kind of felt like the first episode was the weakest season premiere of The Mandalorian so far. First episode of season one was fucking awesome. The first episode of season two, where they took down the crate dragon and teamed up with the Tusken Raiders and we got Cobb Vanth and all that. That was an awesome way to start that season. And this first episode was fine. There were things that I liked about it. I liked the awesome alligator turtle thing that the Mandalorians like struggled to take down until Din showed up. And then the rest of that episode and the space battle that felt very reminiscent to Obi-Wan and versus Jango Fett in the asteroid field, except this time it's Din Djarin and a couple of pirates, one of them looking like Swamp Thing. That battle was pretty awesome. And the talk with Bo-Katan at the end of the episode, I also thought was pretty sweet, even though my life and things made it so I had to watch that scene like four times to figure out what was said in that conversation because of just dogs and noise and chaos and all that other stuff. It's when we were on Navarro, which was the majority of that episode, where a lot of that didn't work for me. Sure. I loved seeing Greef Karga again. I loved seeing Navarro like develop to the point that it did. I thought that was really awesome. The scene with the pirates, again, the pirates trying to drink at the school because it used to be the Scum and Villainy pub. That was pretty sweet. I don't love the fact that we feel like we need to bring back IG-11. That was kind of like, I liked the arc that he had in season one, and I don't really feel like we needed to bring him back. And if we don't bring him back, I'm also going to be annoyed because then we wasted so much time in that first episode just to get to R5 at the beginning of episode two, which was like all that stuff that we did trying to bring back RG-11 just to then the very next episode at right away at the beginning be like, yeah, I don't have that part, so just take R5 instead. Like, I was like, oh, okay, that was kind of a waste. But the way that the previously on showed all the stuff with RG-11 and season one, of course we're going to be getting them back at some point. in some major way. I don't know. I liked the arc that he had. I don't feel like we need to bring him back. And that was the majority of that episode, was of episode one. Kyle's been sticking his hand up.
Yeah. Because, okay, I can understand that feeling, but like obviously because they spent so much time in there, I think that was them telling you this is happening. This isn't just us trying to get him back and then it's not going to work, right? I don't think they would bring it up if that wasn't the plan. They would just leave a statue up, right? First of all, it just felt clunky.
It just felt clunky.
We also got the little Babu Frick characters back, those little fuckers, and Grogu hugging one of them. Awesome. Din Djarin in their cave, like having to sit cross-legged and not fitting in there was awesome. Anyway, IG-11. It makes too much sense not to bring him back. And I understand the whole arc thing, and he, you know, he had a really good story. Fine. He's also the only robot or a droid that Din Djarin has ever trusted. Din Djarin hates droids. Like, he's just sent R5. He said, go fucking see if this planet is livable. Like, this droid work. Go do your shit. But then Grogu's like, no, go save him. He's like, okay, I'll go check on him. Din Djarin still doesn't look... So if he knows that he needs a droid to take something on, hey, bring back this dude who I fucking trust with my life at this point.
But now, like, what's going to be the reason to bring him back? Because the only reason that he wanted him back was so that he could do what R5 just did. Was to see if the planet's breathable and livable and shit like that.
There'll be more. Like, there'll be another reason.
I know. And I get that we're only two episodes in. But at this point, after episode two,
this whole show has been, I think I'm going on this original quest. Oh, just kidding. It's this whole other thing that I didn't even see coming that has bettered my life. Oh, I think I need him for this. Just kidding. I need him because there's going to be the final Mandalorian Civil War. I don't know if it's this season or how many seasons they plan, but they are absolutely doing Bo-Katan versus Din Djarin Mandalorian Civil War to wipe everything.
But are they?
Absolutely.
Because the way that episode two goes, like it felt like they could almost team up. You know what I mean?
Yes. But Din Djarin gets pulled down, right? He doesn't know by what, because by the time we get down by him, he's knocked out. He's unconscious. He doesn't regain until he's back outside the water. What does Bo-Katan see while she's down there? The great fucking mythosaur, right? He's not going to believe her that's what's down there. But she's going to continue that her path that she believes, oh my God, I saw the mythosaur. Like, I'm the one who needs to bring all this back, right? She's going to be fighting on one side. He's still going to be fighting on the other side. I still think that there's going, and I don't know what the armor is going to be somewhere in between, but
that's why I think like they could team up against the armor, because I feel like Din is so like he's on the fence right now. Like, yes, he's still clinging to his old beliefs, but he's been a lot more lenient, as we saw even at towards the second half and the end of season two. Like, he's been a little bit more lenient on those rules and all that. And yes, exactly. He's trying to redeem himself because it's all he's ever known. But you get somebody who's lived on Mandalore, who's, you know, was royalty on Mandalore, and can kind of
glory.
Yeah, but it can go so many ways, which I will say is what episode two did a good job at. The fact that like all the marketing for the show before these episodes started to drop, and even like the way that episode one ended, it was like Bo-Katan was just like, no, like, we're done, like, go off and do your own thing. You could tell that there was a little bit of resentment there. When Grogu comes back to get her help, she's like fine, I'm gonna teach this guy once and for all to not mess with me.
Yeah.
To get rid of him, and then goes to help him and saves him multiple times in that episode. It's so like, you don't know which side anybody's on at this point. And I get it. It's early in the season, but like, I could easily see it being Bo-Katan versus Din, which is kind of how the show was marketed. But I could also see them teaming up against the armor and the over religious Mandalorians. Especially now that Din's going to go back and be like, remember when you said that Mandalore was uninhabitable and that we couldn't breathe there and that there's no possible way of like doing shit? Well, I was just there. bathed in the waters, like, I'm redeemed, and we can go back home.
So I have something on that, too, because I obviously that planet wasn't poison, and, like, it the air was breathable. So I think that was a lie concocted by someone, right? Someone didn't want them to go back and see something. I'm not sure for what reason yet. Bo-Katan looked pretty fucking comfortable flying through that storm, getting into the atmosphere, right? She didn't really blink or freak out that her instruments were malfunctioning or anything. She looked pretty comfortable, like she knew, like she's maybe been there before. I think there's something that hasn't been said, obviously, between Bo-Katan and potential. I think the armor, she's probably in on it too. She probably knew that it wasn't poisonous, but she just didn't want people to go back for some reason. Like, I think eventually, because Din Djarin, yes, he's on this quest to be kind of reaccepted into the Mandalorian, but like, I think at the end of the day, he's not going to be. So he's going to be trying to gain trust with the armor. Armor is going to, I think, bring him in, but at a crucial point, boom, turn on him, turn and go with Bo-Katan. That's how I see the story playing out. But either, like, even if they tell a good story, which they've set up multiple good stories at this point, I'm going to be happy either way.
And even though we heard the line in the trailers, I like the fact that when she's like, oh, do you think your dad was the only Mandalorian? Like, and then to see the rest of that episode, it's like, oh, we're not just going to be following Din and Grogu's story, like episode to episode to episode all the way through. Like, I think it's going to be pretty equally shared between Din and Grogu and Bo-Katan and her quest and her plans mm-hmm. going on, which I'm absolutely fine with. I love the character. I have admitted many times on this show that I have not watched a whole lot of Clone Wars and none of Rebels and not a whole lot of the animated stuff, which I know she's played a big role in all that. And there's a lot of people who have watched those shows that know a lot more than we do about what's probably going to happen in this mm-hmm. in season 3. But I like the character, and I think that this show's been doing a good job of having those Easter eggs and that knowledge for those hardcore fans, but not making it so that, like, you absolutely have to go back and watch those. Now, that's that, and Book of Boba Fett is another story, but I'm glad that it hasn't gotten to that point, because that is, I'll admit, this is a different show and not really a part of this conversation, but it is a fear that I have for the future when it comes to things like Ahsoka. For all the things that I've heard about, like, a lot of hardcore Star Wars fans thinking that that's going to be like the next season of Rebels, but in live action. Oh, great. I like Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka, but I didn't watch Rebels, so now I have to go back and watch Rebels and know what the fuck's going on in this show. I hope that's not the case. And I like that The Mandalorian hasn't gotten to that point yet.
Which is why I still have faith in Ahsoka, because I know you mentioned watching Clone Wars and, like, knowing what's going to happen. Like, this is happening after Clone Wars. Like, anything Bo-Katan's ever done on screen before is before this. This is all post all that shit. Like, she, you know, she ruled Mandalore. She had the fucking Darksaber. Like, now this is all happening in the future.
Which, watching her wield that Darksaber too, that was awesome. And also, Din's got to get one of them wrist shields that she had, because the way that she used that too, it was like, yeah, you could probably use one of those.
That's it. I love all the Mandalorian weapons, because they were all created and designed to go against Jedi. So, like, that's against the lightsaber. They got the fucking rope that he used on Ahsoka the first time. Like, yeah, all that shit's just so cool.
Plus, how many times did she have that Darksaber in that episode too? And she could have easily been like, you know, I got what I wanted. Who would know if I didn't, like, fairly beat you to get this? Like, if all I need to do is walk into a room of our people and be like, yo, bitch, got the saber. I'm going to lead you now.
But that also splits them into, because some people say it has to be earned, right? Like, you have to win it in combat. And that was her whole thing before. Like, she didn't win it in combat the first time. That's why it fell. That's why people think that this whole, There's a lot of good lore behind this. And again, like you were saying, I haven't watched a lot of Clone Wars either. I don't know any of this. I'm getting all of my lore and backstory from. I shout them out every once in a while. New rock stars. They do such a good job of explaining some of this backstory stuff. So yeah, I absolutely love everything that the show has been doing.
I will say it does make me want to go back and rewatch, just watch in general all of this other stuff like Clone Wars and Rebels and all that. I think, if not after this season, maybe even during this season, I might just like look online and be like, and look up like key and essential episodes to Clone Wars, because I've also expressed on this show that Clone Wars is very hit and miss with me, and the times where it misses, like, it definitely throws me off of the groove of watching the show. And so, but it is stuff that I want to know. Like, I want to know who Bo-Katan was before this show. I want to know what she was like when she was leading the Mandalorians. I want to know how the Mandalorians were when they were in their glory during the Clone Wars, when they were thriving and like a kingdom of a planet. Like, I want to know all that stuff before it was just a ruinous crystal planet. But at the same time, I also don't need to like watch Ahsoka and an old man try to get her lightsaber back from Cobb Vanth and a bunch of other bounty hunters. Like shit like that, where it's like, ugh. Or I don't need to watch a bunch of clone troopers train for two episodes. Like, I just need to look up the essential episodes, I think.
or just find a video game that you want to play and watch them off to the side. You know, set up a little iPad while you're playing a game on the big screen or something.
It's easy to say for a single man like you.
That's absolutely fair. Also, I have a triple screen set up in front of me right now. So.
And the Mythosaur. The Mythosaur was pretty badass. Like, that was even for like me. I'm not hardcore, but I'm not casual. I'm like middle of the line Star Wars fan. And so like having only ever seen the skull of a Mythosaur and the majority of the time seeing that skull just painted on armor, but to actually see the creature in and of itself, like that was a jaw dropping moment, even for a little bit harder of a casual fan of Star Wars. Like that was pretty awesome.
Just final thoughts on the Mythosaur there. I mean, it's just the size of a city, and like the fact that he's underwater. There's so much, because they weren't underwater creatures, but now he had to survive. Maybe that's why someone drove him off of the planet. Like, there's just so much that could come into this. How long has he been surviving? Is there a way? He's fucking huge. There's no way he's getting out of that hole that they came out of. Like, is there a back way that he's able to? So much into just this glimpse of a creature's face. I honestly didn't think we were ever going to see this. I believed them when they said it was extinct, as I should. if a show tells me this mythical creature exists, I'm probably gonna, or extinct, I'm gonna believe them. But I almost guarantee that this season ends with either one of them potentially riding this thing. I think it really could go. I don't know how many seasons they have planned for this. If this is I doubt this is the final one.
No, Jon Favreau already said that season four is written, because while he was writing season three, he's like, where is the show going? And sure, so, yeah. In order to complete what he wanted to, the story that he wanted to tell in season three, he needed the storyboard season four, and now he's already got it written. So
I love that, because the same thing that James Cameron did with Avatar 2 and 3. I love that so much. The story's going to just flow. So, okay, I'm calling my shot right now then. The Civil War is going to be in season four. We're going to end this season with Bo-Katan with the Darksaber riding the fucking Mythosaur. That's how I'm going to, and they're going to all believe it's just prophecy, but there's going to be this separate group led by Din Djarin that doesn't believe this. It's all a hoax. There's things against it, right? There's reasons for not to believe it. That's my prediction for how this is going to end.
Any final thoughts on the first two episodes?
Can't wait for next week. Can't wait for episode three.
Hell yeah. My final thought, as I stand up and grab a prop that our listeners won't see, but
kind of will anyway.
My final thought is this. I miss this bad boy. I miss the Razor Crest. I know a lot of people are like, oh, the new Naboo Starfighter ship that he's flying, it's so cool. I'm missing me my Razor Crest. The Starfighter's cool. I like it as a temporary ship, but I really, really, really hope that we get the Razor Crest back sooner than later. It ended up becoming one of my favorite ships in Star Wars. I absolutely love it. I think it fits the character more to have like a bigger ship, a ship that you can carry a crew in instead of just like having your child sit in your lap because you've now got a droid to also help pilot the ship. Yeah, I miss the Razor Crest. That even rewatching season two, that badass episode where Grogu gets taken at the end and Boba Fett and Fennec Shan come to help take down the stormtroopers. Probably one of the best episodes of Star Wars like I've ever seen. But every time that I watch that episode, it gets me every time when it's just and the Razor Crest is destroyed. And I'm like, oh, my heart. Oh, I miss it. That'll do it for our Mandalorian talk. But before we can fully wrap up this episode, we got to jump into our favorite topic of the episode, the best stuff recommendations of the week. I will start because my best stuffs are going to be things that we've not only talked about before, but things that we've talked about in this episode. Go back and rewatch the first two seasons and then the last three episodes of Boba Fett to get the full Mandalorian story. I'm glad that I did. It's a show that I only ever rewatch when a new season's coming out. And it's a show that it reminds me every time how much I love it when I just go back and rewatch it. It's such good storytelling. It's such good Star Wars. I absolutely love it. And then I'm going to best off Scream 4 because the new Scream comes out this weekend, Scream 6. And there's a certain character from Scream 4 that comes back in Scream 6. It's a character that I don't want to ruin. I'm just going to say she's from Scream 4 and it's a highly underrated movie in the franchise. I love Scream 4. It's one of my favorites in the franchise. It's one that never gets a whole lot of love, even in the physical media side of things. Like, it's so hard to find a physical copy of Scream 4. You can always find like Screams 1 through 3 and then now 5. And it's like, what about 4? Where did that one go? It's so good. Hayden Panettiere is in that movie. Emma Roberts is in that movie. And the returning cast is all back. It's such a good movie. I'm going to be seeing Scream tonight, the night that we're recording this episode. Super excited for it. I hope that I can come back and best off it. I'm super excited for that movie. Scream 4, Scream 5, rewatch those, go into Scream 6. And that'll be my best off for the week. Kyle, what do you got for us?
I have an anti-best off.
Anti-best off?
I won't talk long because I know that's not the point of this segment, right? But I just need to talk about, I forgot that I watched this over the weekend, okay? I remember early when we were talking about, oh, we can't wait for all these movies coming out this year. There was one that wasn't even on our list because it had already came out by the time we recorded, right? House Party.
Oh.
Don't watch it.
Oh, no.
It is
I
not.
I forgot that it even came out. It's already on HBO Max, isn't
it's
it?
It's on HBO Max, correct. Me and Zach were hanging out Saturday night, and it popped up on our HBO Max, and we're like, oh my god, we have to watch this, right?
Oh no.
It's not good.
Oh no.
Disappointing. It has its moments. It's funny sometimes. They make fun of LeBron James. It's a cool house. There's cool cameos, right? The best part about the movie is Kid Cudi. That's like the story's not really that great. I like the bad guys are it's weird, man. It's super weird. It tried too hard. Yeah. Oh, I will never watch it again. Am I glad that I watched it? Yeah.
No.
About halfway through the movie, we kind of realized what it was and we started to make fun of it. And that's what made it fun to watch.
Okay.
That kind of movie. So if you want to go in and want to watch a bad movie, make fun of it, go for it. Absolutely. Like I said, the cameos are really fun. There are some good jokes. There's a weird twist in the middle of like the climax of the movie. And it's just so weird.
It sounds like you should have watched The Rocker on HBO Max instead.
I really should have. That's all I got.
Anti-best off. We can't end on an anti-best off. All right. Oh, one more thing.
Sure.
That I forgot to best off that I'll best off again because I know it's been best off in the past. Ted Lasso, seasons 1 and 2. I've been doing my rewatch. We're about 2-3 episodes into season 2. I love this show. I cannot wait for this show to come back. This show comes back next week.
I was going to say
on the 15th, which is
Wednesday.
A Wednesday. Ooh. Mando Day. Ted Lasso Day. Ooh.
All right.
Double whammy Wednesday.
Thank God The Last of Us is on Sundays.
No shit. Oh, yeah. Mondays for me because it drops too late.
Well,
correct. But yeah, go back, watch Ted Lasso. If you've never seen Ted Lasso, it is like, it's so pure. It's like feel good TV. There's a lot of shows on right now, as good as they may be, they're kind of downers. And we're kind of at a point in our world where sometimes you just need a pick me up show. And Ted Lasso is definitely a pick me up show. You don't have to know a thing about soccer, about football, about English culture to appreciate and love this show. It's not only good storytelling, but it's great characters and excellent character development. Those are three good things that make an awesome, amazing show, and that would be Ted Lasso. I highly recommend it. I can't recommend it even more. Apple TV Plus is only $6 a month.
Yeah, come on.
There's no excuse not to get it.
You could also, if you don't want to watch anything else on it, do the $6 for a month, binge watch all of it, and then just cancel.
This is kind of turning into an Apple TV Plus like best stuff because there's so much good content on that streamer that I haven't even dug into. There's so many shows that people talk about all the time on Apple TV Plus.
Apparently, the morning show is really good. Yeah,
the morning show, Shrinking. Mm-hmm. The new Jason Segel show and Harrison Ford show that's been coming out. I've heard nothing but amazing things about that. For All Mankind is an awesome sci-fi show that people rave and like rant and rave about.
Spirited, the Christmas movie, I heard was actually very good with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell.
I enjoyed it. It had some good songs in it.
Sure.
It wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't like a horrible time. Sure. But
back on Ted Lasso real quick, just to pile on yours. I mean, it's funny. It's emotional. The story, like you mentioned, and the twist at the end of season 2. Holy shit. It's not just a twist. Just like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. Like, it's such a good story going into season 3. And it's not something I ever saw coming.
They did such a good job. And even going back, like, this is why I'm also encouraging people to go back who have seen it and do the rewatch, because there are seeds that are planted for season 2, like early in season 1.
Because it feels like a redemption. It feels like a redemption, like two people are going to come together. I don't want to spoil it for someone who hasn't watched it, but like, it feels like these two are fighting and they're going to come together at the end of the season. Oh, it's just so good.
To keep it vague for the people who haven't seen this show, fuck that guy. Like, I'm kind of to the point where, like, I know we're going to redeem him this season, but I almost, like, kind of don't want to.
They're going to have to do a really good job, yeah.
Oh, my God, because they did such a good job of, like, sending him down that dark path that they sent him on. Like, and there are bits of dialogue that he has, like I said, in, like, the first couple episodes of season 1, where when you're watching season 1, that, like, you don't even notice, but you go back and after watching season two and you're like, ooh, for a first watch, it's like, yeah, that was kind of weird that he said that. But for a season two, after watching season two, it's like, oh, like these seeds have been planted already. There are some arcs for other characters in season two that, again, there were seeds planted in season one that I did not notice until this rewatch that we've been going on, where it's like, oh, hey, they kind of like hinted at this. They kind of teased at that. These two characters randomly sitting together, who knew that there'd be something big that would happen with them the next season? Like, it's such good storytelling. It's such good development. I'm sad that season three is going to be the last season, but I'll also kind of like that a show recognizes that, hey, we planned, like, this has been the plan. We're not going to go any farther than that. Like, I can appreciate that too. And so season three drops next week. Go back. They're quick episodes too. They're like 30-40 minute episodes. Mm-hmm. It's a quick binge.
I respect the plan of three seasons so much. One of my favorite shows that doesn't get talked about enough, The Good Place, I think it's like four seasons long, and they're very quick, 20-minute, you know, made-for-TV episodes. It is one of the quickest watches, but it's like one of the most perfect fucking shows I've ever seen. It's just so good, and it knows the story that it wants to tell. It tells the story. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's one of the most emotional season finales I've ever seen. So many good things on this Best Off this week. Go watch some content.
There's plenty of it to watch, and a lot of it is readily available. We have Ben, your Midwesterners. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwesternerds. We are the Midwesternerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to midwesternerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream and listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share and subscribe, be kind, please rewind. All of these things help this show to continue to improve and grow and be the Midwestern Nerd show that you, the listener, want to listen to. Next week, we are going to be celebrating a milestone for this podcast. We have reached the triple digits technically, but as far as numbering goes, because of things like this episode, where we're doing TV talks.
Are we not doing TV talk next week?
We can, but
I'm just saying, like just because of what I know we're talking about next week, I feel like that's also a TV talk. I'm just saying.
It is, but I feel like we need to celebrate the milestone as well. The milestone of hitting triple digits, 100 episodes. Like I said, yes, technically we have done over 100 episodes, but as far as our numbering and systems go with the TV talks and the regular episodes, we haven't quite hit 100 yet. And so we're going to be celebrating that next week. We're going to be talking about a little show called The Last of Us next week. It's going to be a big episode, and you definitely should not miss out. You should definitely come back next week. Check it out as soon as it drops on Sundays. Just a reminder, we are dropping our episodes on Sundays now, not on Fridays. So if you've been looking for us on Fridays and you're like, where the fuck are they? We're dropping them on Sundays. It helps us to be a little bit more relevant. We're not always playing catch up. We are playing catch up sometimes. Like this week, we had to catch up with episode one of Mandalorian and then episode two. But Sunday evenings, I think around 5 o'clock is when we're going to start dropping our episodes now. So look for us Sunday evenings, Mondays, going back to work. We'll be there for you to check out. So for your Midwesterners this week, I've been Brian Stoffel.
And I've been K.O. Kyle Olson.
And whether it's beer, brats, comics, or mythosaurs,
this is